Tomokawa Kazuki has never really had much North American appeal, but I think he's quite popular in Europe and rarely tours outside of Japan, but one of the greatest male solo singer-songwriter, if you'd call it that, artists of the previous century. So that was a track back from the 70s. Speaking of best ofs, Robert Pollard and Doug Gillard's Speak Kindly of Your Volunteer Fire Department was maybe my favorite record of the 90s, though it sort of came out, I think, very late 1999, so I wasn't sure whether I could even get away with including it in my favorite records of this past decade. But that was a track called Slick as Snails from a true pop masterpiece. Animal Collective, before that, from a new EP called Fall Be Kind and a track called Graze, and the set started off with The Rain in the Sidewalk, and a totally slaying track from their album The Weakness called Attack of the Ska Dogs. So, that summarizes that.
We've got
an excellent summary there.
And we have exactly 8 minutes left. For anything, Gary, do you have any requests that you normally wouldn't do it on your show, but maybe we can get away with it on the Becky Sandler Power Hour in its final 8 minutes.
Its final 8 minutes. Well, why don't we get some of these volunteers on air here?
Absolutely.
They look champing at the bit. Yeah. We've been trying to fend them off here with sticks for the past
you
few minutes.
Introduce yourself.
They're
like,
frothing at the microphone.
Happy Valentine's to your mom.
I'm Whitney O'Donnell. Happy Valentine's Day, Mom and Dad and sister.
And you're a student at UBC?
Yeah, I'm a second year English honors student. Yeah, go English.
I know a bunch of English students.
It's a lot of reading. I've read 20 books since
20
September.
Books.
20 books. That's a lot of books.
What was the oldest book that you read?
Beowulf.
What was the newest book that you read?
We're on Middlemarch now, and that's like early 19th century.
That's it? That's the newest book you've read? Was
yeah.
Early 19th century?
We're making our way through the centuries. I think we're going to make it up all the way to the 21st by the end of the year here.
So you're taking English literature chronologically?
Chronologically. It's a journey.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm actually suspicious of any work that comes after 1850, though.
Yeah.
Really.
Well,
they have to age a bit.
Well, we'll find out when we get there.
Yeah.
What happens after 1850. I don't know, not to put anyone on the spot, but if anyone wants to say...
We'll take the person in the Jasper t-shirt there.
To talk about 1850?
Yes, that's right. That's all we can talk about here.
What's your favorite thing that happened in 1850?
Well, that was pre-Civil War, isn't that, so...
Yes.
What was your favorite part of the Civil War?
Are you Canadian?
Yes, I'm Canadian. The cousin versus cousin part, probably,
okay.
Was my favorite part about the Civil War.
What was your name?
Brody.
Brody. Brody's favorite part of the Civil War was cousins versus cousins.
Yeah.
There we have it.
My name's Alan. I'm from Scotland. I'm just visiting for like a year, and I don't know any history, so ask me about sandwiches.
Whereabouts are you from in Scotland?
Glasgow.
Where was the first sandwich made?
It was probably bread. The first time they did it, they had three slices of bread, and they just made a bread sandwich and went, we need something more, and then went for cheese.
You say that you're from Glasgow?
Aye.
Have you ever been to that bar, Nice and Sleazy, I think it's called?
Yeah, kind of live there a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I went there once and saw this metal band that totally, like, melted our faces called, like, Dragon Bomb or something. It was something like that. But, what a place. The downtown downstairs cellar of Nice and Sleazy.
Yeah, it's a great wee rock bar. It's kind of like the Cambie, but with a stage.
Yeah.
Or something. My mate met Evan Dando in there. He was sitting on his own just drinking. He's like, Evan, come and drink with us. He's like, nah, you're all right. I'm on drugs. Allegedly.
Well, bright futures to all of you. I'm wishing you that.
Cheers.
Okay. So now we have about 5 minutes left.
Want to play Sun Wizard? No?
Do I? In the final 5 minutes? I gotta make it count, Becky. Who knows if I'm ever gonna be back.
Can we play your band?
Do you want to play my band?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know what number you are?
Well, how about I play my hit new song?
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Okay, I'll do that. Just give me one sec.
I think that when you're on CITR, you should be maximum embarrassed.
Should I be?
At all times. So maybe you should play your least hit song.
My least hit song, but I have full pride.
But Becky, you haven't actually played any of your hit songs, though.
I have never, ever been involved in a song. Well, that's a lie.
You're involved.
That's a lie. There are two songs I'm involved with, but they're secret.
I saw footage of you
with
a kazoo. I saw you involved. There was footage of you.
Oh, gosh.
Kazoo.
We only kazooed happy birthday, though. So
tried.
We were
it was a
excellent.
Different interpretation of happy birthday there, but
well, there were hundreds of people with kazoos in one room.
It's the future now, 2010, and times are changing, so it's always
Becky's kazoo band.
Mm-mm.
It is the future.
I will never
future.
I don't want the future if that's the future. Anyway,
okay.
Thanks so much, Patrick.
Thank you for having me perform as you for the last 3 weeks, Becky.
I'm sorry I didn't write you a real card.
That's okay. You gave me these cat stickers. And I have a cat for the first time in my life. Well, actually, I once had a cat named Patrick, and it was...
you had a cat
awkward?
Named after you? Named after the cat?
They sold it to me that way.
Your name or the cat?
Whichever. I suppose both. I didn't get to choose either of them, but it was really problematic for a while, so we got rid of it.
Oh. Just based on the name?
Yeah, well, because...
Yeah, it's definitely... It
they couldn't have called you Patty instead or something?
Why do I have to be called Patty?
Because the cat can't adapt as well as you can.
You think
the cat
I can
doesn't
adapt?
Have really that much identification to change, though.
Okay, well, moving on to the pro-GAC world... last week it was GAC free, but this
pure
week
GAC full.
Pure GAC. So okay, I'll play a song from my band Roll Mock on a 7-inch that we have coming up called The Apollo Ghosts Roll Mock Split 7-inch. And this is a track called The Penitent Years, and thank you, Becky, for having me, Gary for
showing up.
Yeah. Always showing up. And
except last week.
Okay, and so I'll see you the next time we move into the future. So until then, signing off.
Justice would be just a crime. Vandals summoned to bait the crowd, whose appetite for blood was only drowned out by a hunger for amends. Would they please take mercy on the prodigal sons? They only went down to the slums to get caught. And the girls admit that they weren't hoping to pass by even making the old masters. Decades late, who cares? There's no remorse if the winners take the bribe. Weeping statues on the mound attract a circus. While in town, the showgirls drag themselves out to the pool. Would they please have sympathy for being so cruel to the critics who were true to their words? The reviews are in and the actors are out.
Then there's the utter misery that is college radio, where they apparently just let any bewildered freshman wander into the booth and try to run a radio station. Campus Outreach is looking for... Hang on. College radio can pretty much be summed up in five words.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Background here, we have Andy Summers, guitarist from The Police, with his contribution to the 1984 film of the same name and the same year of this year, and that's 2010, or 2010, year we make contact. And Summers took the infamous Thus Spake Zarathustra theme from 2010's predecessor, 2001 A Space Odyssey, at the request of the producers of the film 2010. And Summers, of course, has worked on other scores. He's worked on a solo act, and he's done a whole bunch of other things away from Sting and the other guy there. So, thus begins a new year here with Radio Free GAC on CITR, UBC's ever-alert community radio station here. 101.9 FM in Vancouver, Radio Free GAC is your cinematically inspired show here. My name's GAC. I'll toll your bell until 9 p.m. Phone number for the booth is 604-822-2487. You can also email me, radiofreegac@gmail.com. So just want to thank Val Cormier, the illustrious host of CITR's Folk Oasis. She did an admirable job filling in for me last week, the last show of 2009. And tip of the hat for her for taking care of the Oh Brother Where Art Thou profile. And if you missed that, always just catch up on the podcast then. Otherwise, tonight we're going to take a look at the primary composer for the score of 2010, and that's David Shire. And he's had a long career scoring for film, and we'll hear selections from a handful of his films, including the original versions of The Conversation, The Taking of Pelham 123, plus some of his work from Zodiac. But firstly, we'll go French electronic in the form of Acid Washed. And they're a duo of Parisian DJs who released their debut single through the record maker's label last year in November. And the video for the song features some wonderful optical art timed to the music. So with no further ado, here's Acid Washed with a little tribute to American techno. And that's General Motors, Detroit, and America. Taste of a bit more of a further future, and that's Vitalik with Station Mir 2099. And that comes off his second album, 2009's Flash Mob. And after his debut singles in 1996 caught the ears of the underground scene, his aggressive club tendencies helped inspire the aborted electroclash movement of the early aughts, or whatever we're calling 2001 to 2003, after releasing such singles as Le Rock 01 and Pony. But even after all the Justice ripoff artists stole much of that mid-frequency buzz, Vitalik still packs a punch, much like his 2005 album OK Cowboy. But with Flash Mob here, there's a bit more disco and a bit more of a compact feel amongst his floor bruisers.
Do you like having fun and winning cool prizes? Then you gotta check out the Sustainability Television 2009 Youth Media Contest.
Sustainability Television and the Sierra Club of BC want your creative, fun, and inspiring poems and essays with pictures or videos describing what you're doing to make your community more sustainable.
There are tons of totally rad prizes to be won. In addition to cash prizes, sponsor prizes include a $10,000 25-day river excursion, a recycled PC laptop, passes to Y Yoga and Sempre Viva Yoga, organic grocery delivery from Spud, as well as visits for you and a friend to Whistler's Zip Trek Eco Tours, and much, much more.
The contest runs until January 9th, 2010, but the sooner you enter, the more likely you are to win. Check out sustainabilitytelevision.com for full details. And tell us what you're doing.
So that deadline is this Saturday for that essay with Sustainability TV. You're listening to Radio Free Gak here on CITR Vancouver. And Pony Oaks are also from France, but they're a quintet of musicians who aspire typically for a more Italo disco sound. But with last year's single, The Bride is on Fire, they placed it in the hands of another French act. They're from Lille, or L-I-L-L-E-S, which I struggle to remember the pronunciation. It's Lilith? Not that. Something other than that. That's French act's Adept Fingers, and that act would be Principles of Geometry. And here's their take of Pony Hoax's Paper Bride, called The Symbionese Bride. And there's Telephone Tel Aviv with I Made a Tree on the World. And you can find that on their 2009 album, Immolate Yourself. And Telephone Tel Aviv were a duo from Chicago at the time that album was released, but was sadly 1 week later when one of the members, Charles Cooper, died after a unfortunate mixture of sleeping pills and alcohol at the age of 32. So at this point right now, Telephone Tel Aviv consists right now entirely of Joshua Eustace. You're listening to Radio Free GAC.
I am a serious rhythm machine. Now try pleasure. www.citr.ca. You win. CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Toronto, that's Digits, and we just heard There Is a Monster, and you can find that off his debut album called Hold It Close, which he released himself independently last year, And through the Bandcamp site, you can actually download another song off that. Well, actually the last song on the album, but you can listen to the entire album online through Bandcamp. And then through a pay what you can scheme, you can download the entire album. And Digits is the work of Alt Altman. He's an ex-member of some Toronto bands such as The Ghost Is Dancing and Europe in Color. And right now I only see one tour date, and that would be in his hometown of Toronto. So if you're on College Street, you can always go to the Rancho Relaxo on January 28th. Not sure when he's coming to Vancouver. Hopefully soon, but no word yet. But yeah, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm Gak. This is Radio Free Gak here. We'll stick around for a little bit more Toronto synth pop before we venture over into our primary of focus, which will be David Shire. And what we'll do is we'll listen to a band. It's called TMDP, so Tango Mike Delta Papa. The initials don't stand for anything, but yeah, what we'll do is we'll listen to a song off their self-titled debut through YYZ Records. It's a self-titled one. And TMDP started only recently. They had a quick start with some remix work for Vitamins For You, but they're already prepping a second album. So from their self-titled album, here is TMDP with Running. their shed with slow motion replay off their 2008 album, Shedding the Past, through the Berlin label Ostgut Tonträger. And this nicely segues into this week's profile, but what we'll do, though, is, of course, since school is operating again here at UBC as part of the winter term, all the AMS organizations are yet again operating at normal hours, including this one.
This boy and girl coming home from school look quite content with life. And why not? They're looking forward to an important date, dinner at home with the family. What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Luckily, UBC students have lots of on-campus dining options.
The Pendulum Restaurant, your source for fresh dishes made in-house. The Pendulum boasts a large selection of vegan dishes, a comfortable atmosphere, and tasty breakfasts. On sunny days, you can also enjoy the licensed patio. Conveniently located next to the pit, the Pendulum is open 7 days a week. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society. Hey, as far as I'm so bad.
All right, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Radio Free GAC, and our soundtrack profile begins. And this man has been a multi-instrumentalist, now scoring for films for the past at least 40 years at least. He's been also doing some TV and Broadway. And that man is David Shire. And he got his big break with the first film that we'll look at here. And in the early 70s, Shire was married to actress Talia Rose, whose brother is Francis Ford Coppola. And one thing led to another, and Coppola had Shire compose an austere score to his 1974 film, The Conversation. And Shire primarily used a piano for just a delicate score to isolate Gene Hackman's character's loneliness, but he also sampled some of the sounds that came from the keyboard and the piano itself and distorted them with tape processing to heighten the paranoia. So here's David Shire with the main theme to The Conversation.
Thank you.
from David Shire's score to the original 1974 version of The Conversation. We heard the theme, then the really extreme-sounding plumbing problem. Then we heard a little audio excerpt there with the footsteps and the wires from the film itself, which was recorded directly from the DVD. And I found that little sample there on the blog called Snore and Guzzle, which was done there to emphasize some of the sound design at work there, since the film, even though the piano works quite nice, it's nice to sort of mix everything into the air together, like with the Foley artists and the special effects and things like that. So it's a very nice sounding film. But oddly enough, the score was never released in 1974. It wasn't released until 2001. We're not really sure why that was the case, but Shire's minimalism was admired at the time of the release, and it became his hallmark for a bit there. But it was admired such that the soundtrack for the original film was one of the single most requested soundtracks. But once 2001 came along, that would be the year we did not make contact, for those keeping score at home, the San Francisco-based label Entrada finally released it to much acclaim. And the soundtrack itself, to The Conversation, has been you referred to a lot in every other thriller or action film ever since, usually by ripping off certain motifs or just keeping little delicate piano phrases there. But a relatively recent film went one better and asked Shire to provide some similar music to their film, and that would be David Fincher, director of the 2007 film Zodiac. And originally, Fincher had hoped just to use period music from the 60s and 70s as the Zodiac killer was terrorizing San Francisco, also hoping to mix in some vintage radio broadcasts and commercials and other sort of like audio of the time to comprise the entire sonic palette of the film. But as the film progressed, the sound designers realized that certain sections of the film needed a score, and if you remember watching it, it was at least 2.5 hours. And they decided that, they used the Conversation soundtrack that we just heard, or at least excerpts from it, as temporary tracks. And eventually Shire was contacted to compose 15 to 20 minutes of piano music for the film, but as work progressed and inspiration struck, Shire wound up with almost 40 minutes of music, including some orchestral works. So the score that Shire provided for Zodiac, it's quite exemplary, as we'll hear. And the orchestral parts were performed by the Skywalker Symphony Orchestra, but anything on the piano was done by David Shire. So what we'll do from Zodiac is we'll start off with the song Aftermath. We started with Aftermath, then Dare to Dream, and then we ended up with Avery, Graysmith, Tashi, and Arm, all from David Shire's score to the film Zodiac. And that last track shows the use of motifs, as each of the four characters in that song title had their own melody. And at certain points, they actually had their own instrument tied to them as well, too. So anytime they appeared on screen, the orchestra provided a similar context. You're listening to Radio Free Gak here.
Robots need love too.
This is Dan Mangan, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 in Vancouver and surrounding university area.
They want to be loved by robots, need love too.
Now on to one of my favorite little soundtracks here, though it wasn't until recently that I pieced together that where all this music had come from. And this would be the same year that David Shire scored The Conversation. So he worked on this film, which was also recently and unnecessarily remade, and that would be The Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3. And I've known the main title melody for a while, since it's been sampled frequently by hip-hop and turntablists. And the melody itself serves as a unofficial or de facto theme for the 6 train in New York City subway system, since it is that train, the old Lexington Local, where this film's hijacking occurs. So we'll listen to several cues here, starting off with the klaxon of car horn brass that is the main title to The Taking of the Pelham 1, 2, 3. from David Sherr's score to the original Taking Up Pelham 1-2-3. We heard the main title, then sort of the mellower blue and green talk, then we returned with the funky Money montage, then there's the elegiac suite there of Conductor Killed and the Money Bag before we closed off with the Pelham's Moving Again blues. And the power of both the film and the score have left their mark, and aside from inspiring Quentin Tarantino's color-coded criminal scheme in Reservoir Dogs, the New York Municipal Transit Authority had regulated up until recently that the 6 train can never leave its northern terminus, which is Pelham Bay Park, at 23 minutes past 1. But the MTA recently revoked that mandate. But transit dispatchers still delay until 1:24 or 1:25 or so, just out of superstition.
CITR has tons of friends, because with your Friends of CITR card, you get rad discounts from local businesses. Say Commercial Drive is your home sweet hipster home. Then present your Friends card at Bone Rattle Music, Audiophile, People's Co-op Bookstore, High Life Records, and Spank Clothing. And you'll receive awesome discounts. So become a CITR member, get a free Friends card, and feel the love.
Jazz is a word that means many different things to many different people. The best definition of jazz that I know of is the jazz show on CITR with yours truly, Gavin Walker. Monday nights, 9 to midnight, with the jazz feature at 11 o'clock. Check us out every Monday.
All right, for our last score this week, we'll return to the film that we began the show with, and that would be 2010, the year we make contact. And David Sherr was hired as a replacement to score the film after Genesis keyboardist guitarist Tony Banks was dropped after 6 months of work. So Sherr worked with another keyboardist called Craig Huxley on the synth music for 2010. And though the finished music they provided for the film was something that they were quite proud of, what happens is the producers recontextualized the music as instruments were dropped or isolated, cues were resequenced, or just plain dropped. So Sherr actually was pretty unhappy with most of what the score sounded like, but there's a few cues he likes, and we'll start off with one of them. So from 2010, here's David Sherr with Bowman. 2010, the film, we heard Bowman, then reactivating Discovery. And in the background here, we hear what composer David Shire intended would be the main theme to 2010, and something he would have called the New Worlds theme. But the theme actually was very downplayed in the eventual soundtrack, to the point that Shire just sort of gave up on everything. But yeah, the producers definitely went out of their way to make sure that 2010 was different than the original 2001 A Space Odyssey in many ways. And they succeeded by basically failing to make a memorable film whatsoever. And yeah, the only other score that I hope to have included tonight would have been his work for All the President's Men, but maybe I'll save that for another time. But he also did Short Circuit and Return to Oz, another weird sequel. They're still pretty good, though, even though the films themselves are sort of questionable. But yeah, that's about it for Radio Free Gak here this week. Coming up in a few short seconds, it is Gavin Walker with The Jazz Show. Then at midnight, join Rob Previtt for Sore Throats and Clapping Hands. If you missed any of this week's Radio Free Gak, just hop on to www.citr.ca. You can find this show as a podcast in a few hours or so. We'll close tonight with one last piece from the conversation, as Gene Hackman's character in the film had a fondness for jazz. So here are some of Gavin's best friends here, featuring Ray Brown, Shelley Mann, good writing there on my part, Pete Jolly, Jack Nimitz, Conti Condoli, and the Red Baron himself, Don Menza. We'll hear Blues for Harry. So enjoy yourselves on this, the 11th night of Christmas. 12th night is tomorrow. And, of course, school and the regular schedule's at play here. So enjoy yourselves, and we'll catch you later.
Gee, that almost makes me feel bad to turn that off. That's pretty good jazz, I'll tell you. But you'll hear a lot more on The Jazz Show coming right up after station identification. You are listening to CITR, FM and cable 101.9, or on the web www.citr.ca. The Jazz Show with Gavin Walker coming right up.